Trigger warning. This podcast is intended for men. Not boys, not babies, men.
This is how we disable toxic masculinity.
We need to kill all men.
This pagan patriarchalism that is coming back out of the shadows.
Feminists hate patriarchy.
It's the woman that runs the show and the woman that runs the community and is the backbone of their area.
I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman.
Patriarchy.
You are f***ing male privilege.
Are you saying you have authority over me? Go get your superior!
I personally can't see why egalitarianism would be a bad thing.
The assumption that wives should make babies instead of money is part of the patriarchy.
Don't f***ing say hi to strange women you don't know.
Patriarchy.
The patriarchy.
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 By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established, and by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And that is Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 to 4. You are on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network, and you are listening to The Patriarchy. My name is Tony DePonte, and I am joined by my co-host, Pastor Joseph Randall Spurgeon.
Woman, get back in here and make me a sandwich.
Joseph, what kind of sandwich are you eating today?
Well, Tony, I have an announcement to make.
You're pregnant.
No. What? Why would you think that?
That's the only kind of announcement people make.
No. A lot of people do make this announcement.
Okay.
So I'm vegan.
I don't accept that.
I'm vegan.
I reject your announcement.
So now I'm taking my time to get there. And so I'm only eating meat on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, up till 6 p.m.
Okay. It's a long road.
After 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, I'm a vegan.
Okay.
And then after 6 p.m., what I do is, as long as they didn't use an ultrasound machine on the animal, I'll eat it as well.
Oh, I see. Yeah. What about?
Well, I'm really trying to run all the plays here on this, is what you're trying to see.
Not all the plays, though.
No, I'm running all the plays. I'm trying to get there. I'm going to be a vegan.
Oh, okay. But that's not all the plays, though. Are you going to run the vegan play?
That's not in my playbook.
Oh, I see. That one fell out, huh?
That's unconstitutional, as that one is.
Oh, did it fall out while you were reading all the other pages for 47 years?
Yes. Yeah, but I'll get it. I'll be a vegan. I'm definitely vegan. So right now, actually, because I'm a vegan, I'm eating a cheesesteak sandwich, prime rib on there. It's really good.
Nice. Yep. That's the kind of vegan sandwich I'd eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sign me up. Well, my sandwich, it's a good sandwich. I got a good sandwich this week.
You got a muffin, don't you?
No, I do not have a muffin, no. Okay. What I have, which was lovingly prepared by my daughter, actually. Oh, that's going to trigger some folks. My daughter made me a sandwich. She made me an ice cream sandwich.
Made out of Play-Doh?
Nope. Okay. No, that'd be my son. No, that'd probably be my son, actually. My son would probably make it out of, like, sand and mud and have some worms in it. And okay. Be like, here you go, Dad. It's good. It's got protein. No, my daughter made me an ice cream sandwich. So I know it's not a real sandwich, but hey, you know, my daughter made it for me, and ice cream sandwiches are good. They're good sandwiches.
How did she make an ice cream sandwich?
She's getting creative, man.
You got her churning ice cream and everything, man. You're raising a little house on the prairie person.
Yeah, there you go.
churning butter. Yeah, it's good.
She didn't actually churn the ice cream. I'll admit that. So, although we have talked about making ice cream. All right. Moving on to our next segment.
Unintentional sources of truth.
I have five.
you're on 12.
12.
Well, I think usually the better looking girls are on the other side.
Church girls?
Yeah, church girls are a little cleaner at least. Oh, that's on that body cam already. I'm already in trouble.
Church girls are pretty. Oh, man, I'm recording that. I like this guy.
Yeah. So that was released today, and people were all up in arms about it, Tony. It was a video from the body cam of a police officer at the church at Planned Parenthood in Washington. You know what they're most offended about by that?
That the police are coming to tell Christians not to be there?
No, they didn't. That's what they're most offended about. That they didn't tell them to turn their stuff down. That instead they were talking about how pretty the Christian women were.
So who's offended by this now?
Well, the funny thing is there were people on both sides offended. So I shared this on my social media page, and there was somebody really up in arms that, you know, really offended this woman was that this police officer would suggest that some girls are prettier than others and that that they're cleaner than others. And she really took offense at that. And let's address that real quick.
Yeah, why is that so offensive? I don't even understand why that's so offensive. I mean, women, obviously not always outwardly pretty, but are supposed to be pretty. They're made pretty. Why is this offensive? I don't understand this.
Yeah, well, we're going to be offended at anything. And we're offended at the idea that women would be thought of physically, like that a man would think something about a woman's physical appearance.
Well, he didn't say anything. That didn't sound offensive to me, as far as he didn't say they looked sexy or were hot or any of those kind of adjectives. He just said they were prettier and cleaner. I like the cleaner part too.
Yeah, which is truthful, actually. Doug Wilson, by the way, got in really big trouble.
Well, big surprise.
He got really hated by it. And not, you see how much in trouble he got. He's still doing what he's doing. But they were so offended that he wrote an article that said that Christian women are prettier.
Well, yeah.
And man, people on all sides were just upset about that, as if like, if it's somehow wrong to notice the beauty that God created in women. And to notice the fact that when women give themselves to feminism and rebellion to God, that often impacts their physical appearance and it impacts their beauty.
It's almost as if we're not just spiritual creatures, but physical creatures too.
Yeah. I mean, you think in the scriptures, like Sarah, the Bible calls her beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel is called beautiful, mm-hmm. Right? Leah, something's wrong with her face, according to scriptures, right? And the scriptures say this pretty bluntly. And now, the scriptures warn us against lust, but
right.
Noticing the beauty of God's creation, I mean.
Well, and that was my point with this police officer. You're saying, you know, we're not supposed to lust. There was nothing lustful about what he said. It was just a normal observation that they were prettier and cleaner and seemed to behave better.
Clean is good.
Right.
We ought to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you've ever been to an abortion mill, mm-hmm. or anywhere where the feminists are gathered, like hardcore feminists, they're not really known for their cleanliness.
Or their beauty.
Either in their beauty. Yeah, yeah, they're not known for either. They're even in their speech or their conduct or the fact they don't shave their armpits.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah, I know.
Some of the women that come outside the abortion clinic where we're at, they've cut off their hair. In fact, just today, Tony, there was a woman that has been coming down to the abortion clinic for maybe a year, maybe a little bit longer. And another guy and I were down there, and we were just talking. When she first came to be an escort, she had outer beauty. She had some outer prettiness.
Right.
But it, just to watch what has happened. And mm-hmm. she showed up today with all her hair, like, chopped like a man.
Yep.
Almost looked like she was growing a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And just looked ugly. And it was the ugliness of the inside really just coming out. She's murdering children.
It's funny we're talking about this because I was actually just thinking about that the other day. I saw a picture of somebody. It was an abortion mill. It was one of the escorts that was yelling at somebody. And I remember thinking the same thing, that it is interesting to watch how when women kind of like start getting into feminism, they still retain some of that femininity and it will be there for a little bit. But then, yeah, over time, it's like this, it has to, spiritual things affect us physically. I mean, that's a reality. And it's like this outward outpouring of what's going on in the inside of them. And yeah, you're right. They get less feminine, less pretty. They take less care of themselves. They chop off their hair. They get more manly, even in their speech. It's hard to watch. Like, we can chuckle at some of these things at times, but like it's not in reality fun. I mean, to even watch, it's sad. It's sad to watch what this does to, you know, women in our culture, in our world. It just destroys them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get in trouble for saying this, but Amy Bird is an example of this.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Man, I've seen some pictures lately where it's like there's a hardness to her face.
Yeah,
almost like her jawline is hardened. That, and the more that she rebels, and here's the main point. So, you know, people are going to think you're just picking on women. The point is that when we rebel against God, Tony, when we decide to break his commandments and who we are to be, that impacts our physical appearance. It impacts our homes. It impacts the things that we're trying to build. Impacts good things. For example, Tony, the Boy Scouts, right? I grew up a Boy Scout, Tony. On my honor, I'll do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Hmm. And they haven't been doing that. And
no.
Can you play that clip of what's the result?
Yeah.
Now to that breaking news involving the Boy Scouts, the 110-year-old organization now filing for bankruptcy as they face hundreds of sex abuse lawsuits. Gio Benitez is here with the details. Good morning, Gio.
Hey, Michael, good morning. Yeah, the Scouts say they intend to use the Chapter 11 process to create a victims' compensation trust. Their president saying, quote, "The BSA cares deeply about all victims of abuse and sincerely apologizes to anyone who was harmed during their time in scouting." Now, they also say scouting programs will continue for their nearly 2.2 million members. Now, this comes after more than a dozen states passed laws making it possible for sex abuse lawsuits to be filed regardless of when the alleged abuse occurred. The Boy Scouts now call their youth safety measures the strongest and most effective policies found in any youth serving organization. But guys, what a big headline overnight.
Huge.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that is a big headline.
Yeah. Now, they're tying it all of this to sexual abuse, and the sexual abuse is wicked. It needed to be rooted out, but they're just bringing in sexual abuse in other ways as well, like allowing homosexuals to be leaders in the movement, and allowing women now into the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever it's supposed to be, right? And they're bleeding members. That's what's not being taught here. Like, it's like everybody's blind to part of the reasons that they're having to do a bankruptcy. Like, they're blind. Like, oh, I wonder what's happened to the Boy Scouts. They used to be such an upstanding thing and able to, and everybody's been blind to, for one, some of the abuses is happening, but they've been blind to the fact that it's just crumbling. It's crumbling. They have rebelled against God. They've forgotten their motto and the Scout law. And they're no longer morally straight at all.
Well, and that's the thing, is when they started going against what they stood for, when they started crumbling, when they weren't standing for anything morally upright anymore, you start having more and more, I dare to call, I wouldn't really call them men, but men come in that have other agendas, like they're gay and they abuse little boys. And our decisions and our lack of standing upright has consequences.
Now, here's the thing you're not allowed to say, which you already said, which was that notice that they just said sexual abuse or abuse problems.
Yeah.
Right? They're not telling you that this is homosexual abuse.
Yeah. I mean, you got a man raping a boy. It's homosexuality. I mean, I don't care what else everybody else wants to label it as. It's still what it is. I mean, it also is pedophilia because it's a boy, but and not a man, but it's still homosexuality.
It is male on male sexual activity, and it's always homosexual. Now they're going to say, well, they don't identify as homosexual. Some of them are married. It's still homosexual abuse.
Still is.
Still sodomy.
Yep.
Yeah. And now here's the point. Foolishness, rebellion to God destroys a house. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. It's by wisdom that we build up. When you reject God's wisdom, you can do anything but tear down. And that includes tear down organizations, tear down your personal appearance, tear down your own home. And as Christians, we ought to be taking care of these things as much as we can. Now, does that mean that everyone is going to be blessed with the same amount of personal appearance, or everyone's going to be blessed with the same riches and wealth and those things? No, but we are to be good stewards of what we have.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be on the line with the water boy himself, Gabriel Wrench from Cross Politic. So stick around. You are listening to The Patriarchy on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. We'll be right back.
This is Polly the Transparent with an important public service announcement. These yahoos over at the Patriarchy Podcast collaborated with some other yahoos over at Confessionalware to bring all their gun-toting, misogynistic, homophobic, Bible-thumping, brain-dead minion yahoos some Patriarchy merchandise. Yeah, they're actually selling t-shirts and coffee mugs to promote this trash. Even t-shirts for women. I'd say I can't believe it, but let's face it, these are the same buffoons that send boxes of Fruit Loops to my door addressed to the Fruit Loop that lives there who thinks he's a parrot. Intolerant pieces of garbage. Of course I'm a parrot. Anyways, this crap is available on confessionalware.com under podcast collaborations. Not that any normal person would buy that junk. Squawk. Hey, lady. Polly needs his papers changed again. Lack of service around this place. It's unbelievable.
On the line with the water boy himself, Gabriel Wrench. Gabe was born in the Promised Land, Texas. Six states later, he ended up in Moscow, Idaho, where he graduated from the University of Idaho. He's also attended Greyfriars Hall, the pastoral training program at Christ Church. Gabriel is a media consultant, co-founder of the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and one of the hosts of Cross Politics show and podcast. He also serves as deacon at Christ Church and serves on various nonprofit boards. His favorite food groups are barbecue, ice cream, and topping the charts, scotch. He lives on a small 10-acre farm with his wife and three children. Gabe, welcome to the Patriarchy.
Amen. It's good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Good. It's good to have you, Gabe. Man, it sounds like you've done about everything. Have you been in the Boy Scouts?
No, I haven't. I played sports, which usually is a conflict of interest there.
Oh, yeah. I was in the Boy Scouts.
Were you? Oh, that explains did I just a lot. Insult you?
It explains a lot.
No, it's kidding.
Oh, yeah, no. There you go.
Speaking of Boy Scouts, so we've been talking about how rebellion to God tears down your home. Tears down even your appearance, and it tears down organizations. What's your take on what's going on with the Boy Scouts right now?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, the Boy Scouts started off as at least I mean, you probably actually even know more details about this, but a pretty faithful Christian organization mm-hmm. about 110 years ago.
Yeah.
And then over the years, you know, sin crept into the organization through local chapters and through, you know, not monitoring and not paying attention well to what's going on in the organization. And then it started getting covered up and then it got exposed. And then the funny thing in all this, when it got exposed, they just decided to let, you know, homosexuals openly work within the Boy Scout community. Mm-hmm. So they're getting right now they're in this big, you know, bankruptcy process, because they've already paid out over $160 million to, past abuse situations already. And there's thousands more coming. A bunch of states actually just recently, created new laws to allow for the, age of those abuse cases to be lengthened. So, you know, let's say you got abused 10 years ago. Well, now some states will allow up to 20 or 25 years of cases to come before the courts against mm-hmm. the Boy Scouts. So it's really mounting up. That's why the Boy Scouts are going under in bankruptcy. But the odd thing in all this is they've now allowed the homosexual community to be openly homosexual, serving in the Boy Scouts as camp leaders and so forth. And it's just going to create more problems. And so that folly of the sin that happened, you know, in the last, I guess, exposed in the last 30 years, well, they're just magnifying it instead of repenting. They're just going to make it worse by letting open homosexuals come into the Boy Scout community without repentance. That's, I really like what Trail Life is doing. You know, the new organization, Trail Life, that kind of spun out of the out of the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
But I think my understanding in all this is that the Boy Scouts didn't double down on their Christian faith, you know, 50 years ago. And then they started letting the Mormons come in. They started letting a number of other, you know, belief systems start to take over and start to infiltrate the Boy Scout community. And that's probably where I think the problems really started happening, and no one wants to admit that.
Yeah, when I was in, Gabe, so you give an oath to do your duty to God, and that's the very first thing. But man, it was an afterthought. It was an afterthought. Like, it was something said. It's almost like, yeah, you go to a church, you know, and your heart's far from God. You're going through the motions. That's what it was. It was like a liturgy with nobody really caring about it. The dude that goes to the church that comes to the Boy Scouts, they'll have him pray just to kind of go through it. But let's get to the real stuff that we're here for. And so it's no surprise then that down the road, I mean, that's been 30 years ago or longer, down the road, you would have homosexuality.
Well, it seems like, you might know the history more of what's gone on there, but it seems like, you know, it started off as a good Christian organization, and then God takes a backseat because all of a sudden what becomes more important is going out in the woods, hanging out with your son, you know, accomplishing goals, getting badges, and so forth. And so God takes a backseat, and then they also want to maybe use it as a tool to minister, to bring people in, to bring hurting boys into the community that maybe don't have a dad or something like that, or don't have a very good family situation. And then Mormonism comes in, and then now all these abuse cases start popping up because you got a nice petri dish recipe of that will grow this kind of sin, and then now you just allow homosexuals to serve openly. It's just such a bad story that's going on here with the Boy Scouts.
Now, this is a microcosm, Gabe, of what happens when you're not truly committed all the way down God's word. You're not. What is it, Chesterton or somebody that says, like, if you're not, it may have even been Doug Wilson that said, if you're not intentionally conservative, if you're not intentionally that, you're always going to drift towards liberalism.
That's right.
And so
that's right. Well, and I think that applies to the church too. That applies to mm-hmm. the church too. If you aren't intentionally trying to fight as Christians, and if you aren't trying to fight, you know, the world, the sin and devil, you're naturally going to drift. And the church has gotten really lazy and even unable to fight. We've lost those muscles, the fighting muscles, of course, fighting biblically, fighting justly, fighting like Christians, not fighting like the world fights, all that, of course, but we've lost the muscles to fight. And so no wonder the church is anemic. when it comes to even following, understanding culture and understanding the problems that are going on in the world, we can't even analyze things correctly, let alone put up any sort of a fight.
Yeah, well, I think we lose sight of the end goal because we get to, it's like cats with shiny objects, you know? Like along the way, I mean, I'm not saying you can't, you know, appreciate things of the world along the way. Obviously, we want to appreciate beauty and God's creation and stuff, but sometimes I think some of the little milestones along the way, like you were saying, things like, even good things like in the Boy Scouts of bringing in boys who have been hurt or boys that don't have a dad, you know, like that's a good thing, you know, mm-hmm. to bring in and have good mm-hmm. role models and stuff. But when that becomes, you know, the end goal and not the end goal
right.
Being, you know, honoring God, I think we lose sight of that. And we kind of stop to smell the flowers and then we don't know where we are anymore. And we kind of just stay in that field and don't do anything. So right. back to what you're saying about kind of, you know, not having the muscles to do this, not having the strength to do it. Like, how do you think we get that back? How do you think we get those muscles back?
Well, I think really like I actually talked about this on the Daily News Brief today. I really like Pastor Wilson's recent article on being either complicit. What was the name of the blog post? Complicit or I'm messing it up. Google Doug Wilson and complicit or whatever. You'll probably find all sorts of wrong things. Actually, don't Google that.
I was like, I don't know. That could have some interesting results. Oh, boy.
But basically, actually, one of the church is really biblically illiterate. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that just needs to happen, you know, Reformation revival needs to happen in the pews. That's the problem. And one of the central problems with that Reformation revival is just how biblically illiterate the church is. And so, you know, I mean, just start with reading our Bible every day is one of the most important places to start. You know, Reformation begins with the individual. Reformation begins in the family. Reformation begins in the church. And so we need to recover what God's standard, what God's word says for ourselves as individuals, for ourselves as family, for ourselves as the church. We need to recover that. And that starts with reading the Bible, I mean, every day, you know, seeking God and recovering those muscles to sort through God's word and read the Bible. One of the things that comes out of this, once you start reading God's word and the fruit or the nourishment and the food that comes from it, all of a sudden, you maybe use the analogy of like an athlete, all of a sudden you have all this energy to burn as Christians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're reading God's word, and then all of a sudden you're like, as a single man, it's like, oh man, I need to get married and be a faithful husband, or as a dad, I need to provide for my family, because you're getting fed by God's word, and that nourishment turns into, you know, for lack of better words, energy for us being motivated to go and raise godly families and impact wherever God has you to the best of your ability. You know, I started Cross Politic back in 2016. I can't believe it's been 3.5 years. And then we obviously spun, God was blessing Cross Politic, and we wanted to add more voices to what we were doing. So we started the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. And God kept blessing that, and blessing the patriarchy, and blessing a lot of what we're doing. And it's interesting to see God kind of work through, I think, the energy that's, you know, for lack of better words, I don't want to sound so mystic in all this, but through the faithfulness that God has created with what's gone on here in Cross Politic. And so I think Reformation revival, you know, the muscles that we need to recover start with reading God's word. And then all of a sudden God starts taking you in all sorts of places that you never would have realized or never would have gone before, but because God's working in you through his word in your family, in your church, in your community, you all of a sudden these muscles that you never even knew you had start coming into play.
I think mm-hmm. Reformation is contagious at times too. I mean, you know, like you talk about making changes, right? And so you got this, you know, you got one guy over here who starts reading his Bible every day, and then he starts leading his family differently, and he starts leading his church differently. He starts going out, you know, to the public square, the civil magister, you name it. And you have other men who'll start looking at him going, yeah, that's a good thing. Like, how do I get there? You know, and then they start reading their Bible every day. They start leading their family better. And I mean, even with what you guys did with Cross Politic, what you guys did with the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network, I remember being a huge fan of Cross Politics before we ever knew each other and listening to you guys all the time when I was mowing the lawn. You guys were like always in my ears when I was mowing the lawn and doing work. And right. I remember when you guys first started talking about the Fight Left Feast Network. And I remember thinking, man, that's cool. Like, that's a great idea. I'm super excited to see where that goes. Not even really thinking, man, I should get involved in this. And then, you know, it launched. And then, you know, I at that point didn't even know Joseph yet. And then we got to be friends. And the podcast was actually
a
joke between us. It was just this ongoing joke of, man, we should make a podcast. And then eventually we talked so much about these things that we're like, no, we should actually make a podcast. And then we started praying about it and trying to figure out how we're going to do this. And out of the blue, you ended up messaging me, and the rest is kind of history. We had the phone call with you guys, but it was this contagious thing of thinking like, you know, even just with Cross Politics, what you guys are doing and building this network, that this is a good thing. You know, like, this is something that we all should try to be a part of and do and change the culture and be leaders instead of followers. And yeah.
Yeah. And I think, one of the things that Christians need to recover is the idea that we need to take more responsibility for what our family should look like, what our cult, what our little community should look like, but also for what our calling should look like. We're so dependent on the world for our healthcare, for our education, for our, for the government to even help take care of the poor, or Christians start thinking really lazy about how they need to be thinking about impacting the world. It's kind of funny. You know, we're here. I'm in Moscow, and one of the funny things in Moscow is we get canceled for everybody's canceled us. Thomas Nelson used to publish Pastor Wilson's books. You know, Doug used to go to Ligonier conferences. We used to get invited to all the cool kids' tables, and everybody's canceled us. And so what we've done is, well, we just started building our own platforms. You know, Doug doesn't get invited to, you know, a conference anymore. Well, I'll start blogging. I'll build my own blog platform. Thomas Nelson won't publish our books anymore, which is fine. You know, they can publish whatever they want. So we just double down with Canon Press Publishers. Mm-hmm. And what happened with Cross Politics, you know, we're Doug Wilson's media arm out of Moscow, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's happened with Cross Politics is, you know, we just started building our own little, you know, audio platform. I mean, when we started Cross Politics, I was applying to radio stations, I'd call a radio station and be like, oh yeah, we got all sorts of, we need all sorts of content. We have all sorts of programming hours available and everything. And then, and what would happen was I would finally submit a proposal to it. And they would, Jesus is Lord proposal to the radio station. And they would be like, they would never get back to me. They had all these programming hours available. They never get back to me. So one of the things that kind of through this whole process, and one of the things I've learned over the last 3 years, is that as Christians, we need to learn just to build our own platforms, mm-hmm. get our own hammer, get our own nails, start building our own platforms. And, you know, God blesses some. God doesn't bless others. God waters some. He increases others. Doesn't bring as much increase, you know, to other platforms or whatever. But be faithful where you're at and start building your own platforms, because, you know, I'm done depending on Facebook. I don't know if you guys know this right now, but I'm shadow banned from Facebook right now.
Again?
I can't, until February 22nd. Geez, it hasn't stopped. Until February 22nd. I get out of purgatory next week, I think. But I can't even share a show in our own Fight Last Feast group that I started. I have no idea what I've done wrong there. But this is why we built our own app for the network, for the Fight Laugh Peace Network. If the listeners haven't downloaded the app yet, download it, start using it, because it's our own platform and we aren't at the whims of some sort of Facebook diversity algorithm.
Right.
And everything. And so Christians, plant churches, build your families, start your own schools, you know, build your own platforms and whatever that looks like. And that includes, and that principle applies to, you know, starting your own company. just because you know, Facebook has started doesn't mean a Christian can't come in and create a better solution. Just because there isn't a giant in the room doesn't mean David can come in and take down that process and start something better. And if anything that I've been energized from this network and working with you guys and building what we've been building here on the network, I've gotten more excited and more, I think it's even more important after what I've learned in this process to build our own platforms.
Amen.
So what's something that we got coming up? Anything new, anything you haven't announced that you can announce here or you have announced?
Since we keep getting disinvited to conferences or funny things happen to us at conferences, we're just starting our own conference.
Yeah, so, buddy. Yeah.
So the Fight Laugh Beast conference registration is live actually this week. All club members and new club members will get $100 off registration. So if you guys sign up to support the patriarchy, email contact@fightlaughfeast.com. And I'll email you a club member discount code to come to the conference in Nashville. Now, let me I got 2 minutes before I got to get off here. I'm just going to hog all y'all's time here.
Go ahead.
The conference is going to kick off with a beer, wine, cheese, punch, psalm thing for everybody. 7 o'clock Thursday night.
Nice.
Kids, families are welcome. We're going to have punch and treats for the kids, beer and wine and salt and hors d'oeuvres for those who are 21 and over, and psalm thing. And we're going to start off just a big fellowship time, big party on Thursday night. On Friday, it's going to be all theology and worldview. And then on Saturday, it's going to be all practical, Francis Schaeffer, Seven Mountains kind of concept, where we're going to have a speaker come in and talk about media, a speaker come in and talk about politics, a speaker coming to talk about education, and a speaker coming to talk about business and technology on Saturday. And then we're going to end this conference. If the creek don't rise and I'm able to coordinate all this well, we're going to end the conference by having a bunch of food trucks pull up at the venue where we can all go out, get our food, come back in, and have a big Sabbath feast to end the conference on Saturday night. The one other thing I want to say here is, we're also going to do a live show with the whole network on stage. I'm not quite sure how we're going to work all this out, but that's one of the closing things on Saturday is we're going to do a live show with the Patriarchy guys, the Pugcast guys, HCBP, AD Robles, Marcus Pittman. We're going to try to figure out how we're going to coordinate all that on Saturday. So we should end the conference with just kind of a big network show, which should be a lot of fun. So that's my summary of the conference.
Nice. Nice. Well, Gabe, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it. And I know you got to get going, but thanks for your time, man.
Hey, thanks for your time, guys. Appreciate you guys. Lord bless.
That was Gabriel Wrench, the water boy from Cross Politics Show and Podcast. You are listening to The Patriarchy on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. We'll be right back.
Some really good news coming from Gabe about the future of Fight Laugh Feast Network. It's good to be on that. It's good to fight and the laugh. And
we're going to be feasting too. Sounds like there's going to be some good food.
Yeah. So one of the things we're trying to do with the Fight Laugh Feast Network and this show is really be about building God's house, being about building God's kingdom, and encouraging men to build their homes. So as they build their homes, they're working on building God's kingdom. Yeah, we have this problem in our day where we see rebellion tearing down things that have come before, and we kind of have this idea like where we pit the spiritual against the physical things. We pit doing something spiritual with doing the physical thing of even building your home and how you take care of your home. And we've been doing that. That's been going on for a couple hundred years or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Christianity. A verse I like to think of is this, is like Proverbs 24:30-34. It says, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. Right? This is very practical.
Mm-hmm.
Dude didn't take care of his house. Now it's falling apart.
Yeah.
Now you can take the spiritual aspect of that. Like, you rebel against God, and guess what? It's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to, like, pit the spiritual versus the physical. And we take verses that talk about not being of the world or not having worldliness as a way of thinking we're not to be earthy. And yet we need to be earthy, and we need to be thinking about these type of things and building these up to be faithful for the future. And the problem is this view of Christianity between the physical and the spiritual, it comes out in many different ways. Like, it comes out like how we think about things. Like, this, we're in a sinking ship. What do? We don't polish the brass on a sinking ship. That's how many have seen things for a long time. So why attempt to build up something like the Boy Scouts if it's just going to all be destroyed? Why worry about building up your home and taking care of your home? Why worry about any of these things, right? We hate tradition. We hate old people. And we hate time, because we think those are, you know, spiritual is good. These things remind us that we're part of this world. It comes out in how we think about sex. It's either something to be avoided at all costs, you know, something really dirty, like the fact that people get offended that somebody might say a woman looks beautiful, or it can become something that's just as purely this physical act in which there's no emotional connection and no really anything larger. We neglect having children. We try to fight that. And this view, this difference between the physical and the spiritual, it comes out in a way we think about work, which is we think of work as simply something as a necessary evil, and rather than working to the Lord.
You often hear the phrase, what's the point? Right? You know, a lot of people say that in a lot of different scenarios, but I think we just failed to actually ask that question. What's the point of life? You know, I mean, what's the chief end of man, right? I mean, we don't even really say confessions anymore. I think we've lost sight of it. And so when we lose sight of that end goal, when we lose sight of the bigger picture, all the little parts of it that go into building it and building something bigger than ourselves get lost, you know, because it just becomes about us. It becomes about right now, you know, instead of what's down the line. Not that the things right now don't matter. I mean, they do. But I think we've lost sight of the bigger picture of that. We've lost sight of what are we building for? And I think when we lose sight of that, we don't really want to build anymore.
You're absolutely right. So there's that two ditches to fall into. One is spiritual has nothing to do with the physical. And then another can become so much focused on now that we don't have the vision of the future. It's mm-hmm. It's what we talked with Gabe about, the Boy Scouts, while they had the words and they had the appearance of godliness by saying these things, they lacked its power because they were so focused on the now. And the truth is, we look towards the future, but then we recognize that everything about Christianity impacts us here where we're at in our body. Like, we are commanded to live here, and we are commanded to obey with our body. For example, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not of your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Point I want to make here is that our Christian religion, our faith, impacts every aspect, how we work, how we eat, how we drink, how we sleep, clothes we wear, whether we kneel, whether we pray with our hands lifted, how we use our money, how we even treat animals, how we provide for our family, and what we build, and even how we take care of things like our homes and those type of things. And if we don't keep that in mind, if we don't have the ultimate goal in mind, we're going to be found to be the unwise man or the unwise woman who tears down her own home or his own home. And that's what we've been talking about, I think, and we've been seeing happening around us. Rebellion to God ends up tearing down your own home.
And that is our episode for this week. If you are not yet a Fight Laugh Feast Club member and you want to support our show, go to fightlaughfeast.com, click to sign up to become a member, and use the code PATRIARCHY when you do. It goes to support our show and gets you behind-the-scenes access to extra material and some goodies in the mail. So go to fightlaughfeast.com, click to sign up to become a member, and use the code PATRIARCHY to support our show. So until next time, if you have not yet bowed your knee to Christ, repent and believe. And if you have, this is our call to you. Build, fight, protect, lead. This is the Patriarchy.